Thank you, Allison. I'm always amazed, and I don't know why it should be amazing, to see how God can orchestrate and put together a service that's totally different than what it was supposed to be 7 days ago, right? I understand that there was different music planned for today, and then when everything happened this week and I was asked to speak, I didn't speak with any of the musicians. It's not the type of thing that you really plan everything for so that everything fits perfectly, but God has indeed orchestrated that for today, and I'm just kind of blown away. I was thinking even this morning that ancient words, you know, that's what these are, right? Ancient words, they still change lives, and that's what I'm praying for today, and as I've been praying for the opportunity to speak to you, that God would use his word in a powerful way today to change all of us and to become more like Christ and to challenge us where we need to be challenged. This morning, I want to take you to an Old Testament book named 2 Chronicles. We are in 2 Chronicles today, and we are going to cover a lot of ground in 2 Chronicles today. I don't know if you've spent much time in the Old Testament. One of the things I think can be a challenge in our American church today is I see more and more churches or hear messages that are New Testament based. And I've been in some churches that are very much New Testament based, either growing up or even serving in churches. And that's great. It's part of God's word. But sometimes the Old Testament is kind of, well, we'll just reference back to it when we can support what's in the New Testament. And there's so much rich information about God and how God views us and how God wants to help us from all of Scripture. That's why it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. And all, when it's in Scripture, that word means all. All means all. And so, just as a preface to the message today, I want to encourage you to consider, maybe you haven't spent much time in the Old Testament recently. Or maybe you're like, well, I don't even know where to go. Maybe our message today in 2 Chronicles might encourage you or embolden you to say, you know what, I'm going to spend some time this week reading some of these ancient words. These are truly ancient words, and see how God might use that in my life to encourage me and to help me grow. 2 Chronicles, we're going to be in chapter 14, 15, and 16. That was a purposeful pause to see if there were any groans in the audience. Like, oh, that's a lot of chapters. That's three chapters today. And it's narrative, and I'm gonna read all of these chapters. And I think there's something really special in here for us today. And I'm hoping that God will use it, like I said, to encourage us and to help us to grow, help us to be propelled to change different things as well. God, I just pray that you would help us today in this part of the worship service, Lord. We want to lift up your word, Lord, and revere it the way that it should be. God, that you would use your word and the help of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to help us to see what we need to see. God, I'm praying specifically that you don't help us to see the things that our neighbor needs. God, I'm praying that you will help each of us to see exactly what we need as individuals. And God, that your Spirit would deal with us individually today in such a way, God, that each one of us would leave here challenged to be different and even making changes before we walk out of these doors. God, I can't thank you enough for your word and how you have preserved it throughout the ages, Lord, and made it available to us today so that we can know you and know how to live for you. We just turn this time to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So 2 Chronicles 14, okay? 2 Chronicles 14. And just to get us started, I wanted to, again, ask you, and you can respond verbally out loud if you want to yell it or scream it or whatever, that's fine. I won't look at you any different. But what are some of the needs that we as humans have? What are some of the needs? This isn't a trick question or anything. What are some needs that we have as people? Give me, what's that? Love. Okay. What's that? Guidance. Right. Guidance and direction. Food. Yeah. We need food. Some of us don't need as much food as we think we need. I might be one of those people, but we do need food. What else?
Companionship.
Yeah. Companionship. Friendship. Relationships. Yes. What else?
Shelter.
All right. We're hitting some of the basics. The food, shelter, clothing. How many of you are thankful for clothing today? I am. From this point of view, I am very thankful for that. So food and clothing and shelter. We also have, as people, financial needs, right? We live in a world where there's economy everywhere. And we need, we have financial needs to live in the present day world. What about emotional needs? We all have emotional needs, right? And some of that goes along with some of the other comments that have been made this morning. We have relational needs. That was brought up. What about sometimes there might be marriage issues in our lives where we need help. And we don't know where to turn. Because, you know, let's be honest, sometimes in these types of issues, we can feel a little embarrassed to reach out for help. But we can and we should reach out for help. Charlie mentioned direction, you know, or, you know, knowing where to go or what to do. We have needs to know that kind of thing. What about job issues? Sometimes in our jobs, issues come up and we might need some help to deal with those. And many times it might just be, hey, you need to deal with it and you search and you help or seek help from the people around you or from God, and God can help you with that. But I just wanted to just throw it out to you today as we think about the needs that we have as humans, that no one can meet the needs in our lives like God can. There is nobody who can meet your need, whatever you can identify right now in your own thinking. Nobody can meet that need like God can. And you can try all you want to seek all the help from your spouse even, or from your children, or from your grandparents, or whatever it might be. All the self-help books that are available on the market today, you can go anywhere else and you'll never ever find the quality and the fullness of help that you will find from the God who made you. No one can meet the needs in our lives like God can. In 2 Chronicles 14, we have the story of a king of Israel, king of Judah. And his name is Asa, King Asa. And so I'd like to read chapter 14 for you. And I want you to particularly pay attention to your own Bible. We don't have slides today. I don't have any fancy outlines to show you on the screen. I want you guys to look squarely in your Bible. My translation is going to be different, probably, than what yours is. But I want you to follow along as best as you can and let God's Holy Spirit, let the truths jump off the page to your own eyes as you hear this. 2 Chronicles 14, start in verse 1. When Abijah died, he was buried in the city of David. Then his son Asa became the next king. There was peace in the land for 10 years. Asa did what was pleasing and good in the sight of the Lord his God. He removed the foreign altars and pagan shrines. He smashed the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah poles. He commanded the people of Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and to obey his law and his commands. Asa also removed the pagan shrines, as well as the incense altars from every one of Judah's towns. So Asa's kingdom enjoyed a period of peace. During those peaceful years, he was able to build up the fortified towns through Judah. No one tried to make war against him at this time, for the Lord was giving him rest from his enemies. Asa told the people of Judah, "Let us build towns and fortify them with walls, towers, gates, and bars. The land is still ours because we sought the Lord our God, and he has given us peace on every side." So they went ahead with these projects and brought them to completion. King Asa had an army of 300,000 warriors from the tribe of Judah, armed with large shields and spears. He also had an army of 280,000 warriors from the tribe of Benjamin, armed with small shields and bows. Both armies were composed of well-trained fighting men. Verse 9. Once an Ethiopian named Zerah attacked Judah with an army of 1 million men and 300 chariots. They advanced to the town of Marishah. So Asa deployed his armies for battle in the valley north of Marishah. And then Asa cried out to the Lord his God, O Lord, no one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you alone. It is in your name that we have come against this vast horde. O Lord, you are a God. Do not let mere men prevail against you. Verse 12. So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians in the presence of Asa and the army of Judah, and the enemy fled. Asa and his army pursued them as far as Gerar, and so many Ethiopians fell that they were unable to rally. They were destroyed by the Lord and his army, and the army of Judah carried off a vast amount of plunder. While they were at Gerar, they attacked all towns in the area, and terror from the Lord came upon the people there. As a result, a vast amount of plunder was taken from these towns too. They also attacked the camps of herdsmen and captured many sheep, goats, and camels before they finally returned to Jerusalem. There you have chapter 14. So what is going on here? And it's really pretty simple. There's a lot of really neat things in here that we can see and mine out for us today. Asa was the kind of king that honored and respected God. Not all kings of Judah or Israel could say that. There were many, many wicked kings. But here we find a king who honored and respected God. And it wasn't just with his lips, it was with his actions. He truly led people down the right path. Asa did what was good and pleasing in the sight of God. He did those things. Again, not just give lip service to them. King Asa also removed elements of idolatry. This is an example of what he did. His faith was in action, in motion. He removed elements of idolatry that were against God during his reign. And he commanded the people that he ruled over to seek and obey God, just like their ancestors had done. You see, all of these people, they know the story of their history. They know where their ancestors were from. They know the stories of how God had provided in the past. And the king is directing their thinking back to a time when the nation was following after God. That's a good king, isn't it? That's the kind of leader that you want. And Asa was that kind of leader. God gave Asa and the people, because of his obedience and because of his courage as a leader that wanted to please God, God gave Asa and the people a time of peace. As Asa sought God's help, God gave him peace and his people peace. And they used this time of peace to strengthen the kingdom that they lived in. So as Asa was obedient to God, and as he purged the land of these idolatrous things that were an affront to a holy God, God brought peace. And they used that time of peace, where they don't have to go out and fight all these battles because God brought them peace, as a time to fortify themselves and to grow and to strengthen themselves. In verse 9, we see that Zerah from Ethiopia had an army of 1 million men, and they rose up to attack Asa and the people. That's pretty significant, because I don't know about you, but if I was an army of 580,000 warriors, even going up against 1 million men, that's pretty bad odds, isn't it? And not only that, King Asa's group of 580 warriors didn't have chariots. Yet there were 300 chariots represented in this army of 1 million. So Asa sees this threat. And as a king who's been successful in following after God, and the reforms that are made, and the proclamation to, we need to get back to honoring God with everything, who we are as people, we're going to purge all this stuff out, we're going to really worship God, he probably had every right, and a lot of people might have followed him in his own strength and in his own power. And they might have thought, great, he's led us well so far. Whatever he says goes. But we can tell that this is proof here in verse 11, starting in verse 11, that the key to all of Asa's success as a king was that his heart was directed toward God. Here's Asa's reply to this giant threat of a million men army with 300 chariots. In verse 11, Asa cried out to the Lord his God. He didn't rely on their training or the know-how or his past success. He cried out to the Lord his God and he said, "O Lord, no one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O God, O Lord our God, for we trust in you alone." It doesn't get plainer than that, does it? God, we trust in you alone and we're calling on you for your help. It is in your name that we have come against this vast horde. Not in our own strength or in our own wisdom. God, it's in your name that we're here. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere men prevail against you. I don't know what your need is today. Maybe some of you have a need to be saved. And I want to encourage you to be saved today. Maybe you are saved, but you're facing tremendous pressure at home or at work or at church or wherever it might be in the community, family relationship, whatever it might be. I want to encourage you to respond to the pressure that you're facing like King Asa did in verse 11 and cry out to God. There is no better place to be than in that spot. You see, God responded. We see in verse 12, the Lord, it says, "So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians in the presence of Asa and the army of Judah." God just didn't respond with, "Hey, Asa, you got this. Attaboy, you know, keep going and we'll, minimal casualties and we'll try to do what we can." No, God responded in a big way. And it says here in the text that the Lord defeated the Ethiopians in the presence of Asa and the army of Judah. And it says in the aftermath that Asa and the army then went after the people who were running away. So Zerah's army was destroyed by God and Asa's army. And Asa's army collected a huge amount of belongings from the defeated army. Pastor Matt, why are you bringing up all of these things that they collected? Well, you'll see when we get into 15 and 16. Okay? This was not a time when that was inappropriate. So Asa's army collected a huge amount of belongings from the defeated army. So let's continue to the second part of the story. Chapter 15. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 1. "Then the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Oded. And he went out to meet King Asa as he was returning from the battlefield. 'Listen to me, Asa,' he shouted. 'Listen, all you people of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. Whenever you seek him, you will find him. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you.' For a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach them, and without the law to instruct them. But whenever they were in trouble and turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him out, they found him. During those dark times, it was not safe to travel. Problems troubled the people of every land. Nation fought against nation, and city against city, for God was troubling them with every kind of problem. But as for you, be strong and courageous, for your work will be rewarded." When Asa heard this message from Azariah the prophet, he took courage and removed all of the detestable idols from the land of Judah and Benjamin, and in the towns he had captured in the hill country of Ephraim. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, which stood in front of the entry room of the Lord's temple. Then Asa called together all the people of Judah and Benjamin, along with the people of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, who had settled among them. For many from Israel had moved to Judah during King Asa's reign when they saw that the Lord, his God, was with him. The people gathered at Jerusalem in late spring during the 15th year of Asa's reign. Verse 11. And on that day, they sacrificed to the Lord 700 cattle and 7,000 sheep and goats from the plunder they had taken in battle. Verse 12. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, with all their heart and soul. They agreed that anyone who refused to seek the Lord, the God of Israel, would be put to death, whether young or old, man or woman. They shouted out their oath of loyalty to the Lord with trumpets blaring and ram's horns sounding. All in Judah were happy about this covenant, for they had entered into it with all their heart. They earnestly sought after God, and they found him. And the Lord gave them rest from their enemies on every side. Verse 16. King Asa even deposed his grandmother, Maacah, from her position as queen mother because she had made an obscene Asherah pole. He cut down her obscene pole, broke it up, and burned it in the Kidron Valley. Although the pagan shrines were not removed from Israel, Asa's heart remained completely faithful throughout his life. He brought into the temple of God the silver and gold and the various items that he and his father had dedicated. Verse 19. So there was no more war until the 35th year of Asa's reign. That's part two of the story. So Asa and his people are coming back from battle, and Azariah the prophet has a message from God to Asa and the people, and it was very simple. We can see from this chapter the message was this: God is present and powerful in defense of his obedient people. God is present and powerful in defense of his obedient people. And when Asa heard this, his response was very much like what we read in verse chapter 14. He removed idols. He repaired the altar of the Lord. He gathered the people and made sacrifices to God. It was an act of worship and devotion to God, and not just mere words again, but true action to show his love for God and his obedience to God. Removing idols, repairing the altar of the Lord. He gathered the people and made sacrifices to God. Then we see in verses 12 through 15 what they as a people did. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, with all of their heart and soul. They agreed that anyone who refused to seek the Lord, God of Israel, would be put to death. I mean, they were really serious about this relationship with God and giving of their heart and soul to God and saying, God, I'm here. I am all yours. I want to be led by you. Be my help. They shouted out their oath of loyalty to the Lord with trumpets blaring and ram's horn sounding. And there is no way on earth that I can reproduce what that sound must have been like. I don't think it's fathomable for us to even imagine what that was like. We're talking loud and just the people crying out to God and making all this noise. And God heard them. All in Judah were happy about this covenant, for they had entered into it with all of their heart. There it is again. They earnestly sought after God, and they found him. And the Lord gave them rest from their enemies on every side. You see, I believe in 2 Chronicles 15, God points out that God is interested in our hearts and our heart responses to him, no matter what circumstances we're in. No matter what trouble you are in today, no matter what you're facing, you might feel like you're the guy in the middle of the lake and all we can see sticking out is a hand just reaching for help. If you seek God with all your heart and soul, God will meet your need. It's a heart issue, not something that we can't just go to God and say, oh, I'm going to God and I can check that off my to-do list of dealing with this problem. I don't feel any different. But when your whole heart is going to God, it's a whole different story, isn't it? It's a whole different story. So many of you might be struggling in your lives this morning, and maybe you're like, Pastor Matt, I desperately need some help. This is striking a chord with me. I know God's Spirit is speaking to my, I know that this is where I'm at. I need some help. And I have to ask you, where will you turn for the help that you need? And encourage you, why not turn to God? God was present and powerful in defense of Asa and the people in their time of need, and he can do the same for you and for me today. In the same way, as we turn our hearts to him and seek him with all of our heart and all of our soul. There's a lot of scripture that supports this. I just have a few listed here. Psalm 46 in verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Verse 10 of Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. Verse 11, it says, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. In James 4:8, it says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And maybe that's where a lot of us are today. Maybe it is kind of a sin issue, and we're just like, I feel like I'm under pressure, and I got all this trouble. But maybe a lot of the trouble that you're experiencing today is brought on by your own sinful choices. Maybe it's brought on by my sinful choices, the problems that I'm facing. And we have to be honest enough to stand before God and ask him, God, where's this trouble coming from? Is it coming from sin in my own heart, towards someone else or towards you? Maybe it's my thought life, whatever it might be, but can you be honest enough with God today to ask that question and really, really mean it? Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You see, not all of the problems or persecution that we think we have as Christians is brought on by other people. Not all of it. Much of it is brought on by choices that we make that dishonor God or displease God. So that's a consideration that we all have to take into account today. But the fact of the matter is that no one, again, no one can help us like God can help us. The third and final part of the story for today, we see in 2 Chronicles 16, the final years of Asa's reign. Verse 1. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, King Baasha of Israel invaded Judah and fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from entering or leaving King Asa's territory in Judah. This is not a good thing that's happening here, okay? This is a total change from what's happened in 14 and 15. Verse 2, Asa responded by removing the silver and gold from the treasuries of the temple of the Lord and the royal palace. He sent those things, the silver and the gold, from the treasuries of the temple in the royal palace. He sent it to King Ben-Hadid of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus, along with a message. And here's the message in verse 3. Let there be a treaty between you and me, like the one between your father and my father. See, I am sending you silver and gold. Break your treaty with King Baasha of Israel so that he will leave me alone. Ben-Hadid agreed with King Asa's request and sent the commanders of his army to attack the towns of Israel. They conquered the towns of Ijon, Dan, Abel Beth Maacah, and all the store cities of Naphtali. As soon as Baasha of Israel heard what was happening, he abandoned his project of fortifying Ramah and stopped all work on it. Verse 6, then King Asa called out all the men of Judah to carry away the building stones and timbers that Baasha had been using to fortify Ramah. Asa used these materials to fortify the towns of Geba and Mizpah. Verse 7, at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to King Asa and told him, because you have put your trust in the king of Aram instead of in the Lord your God, you missed your chance to destroy the army of the king of Aram. Don't you remember what happened to the Ethiopians, Libyans, in their vast army with all of their chariots and charioteers? At that time, you relied on the Lord, and the Lord handed them over to you. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. What a fool you have been. From now on, you will be at war. It's pretty harsh words, isn't it? What a fool you have been. From now on, you'll be at war. Verse 10. Asa became so angry with Hanani for saying these things that he threw him into prison and put him in stocks. At that time, Asa also began to oppress some of his people. Verse 11. The rest of the events of Asa's reign from beginning to end are recorded in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa developed a serious foot disease. Yet even with the severity of the disease, he did not seek the Lord's help, but turned only to his physicians. So he died in the 41st year of his reign. He was buried in the tomb he had carved out for himself in the city of David. He was laid on a bed perfumed with sweet spices and fragrant ornaments, and the people built a huge funeral fire in his honor. What a sad ending to the story. The story of a king who was motivated to obey God and to lead his people to obeying God and to lead his people not only in doing the things that please God, but he wanted to lead his people in their heart issues to God. And the story ends like this in 2 Chronicles 16. Asa sinfully turns away from God's help and God's protection, and he seeks help from a pagan king. Some of us would say, how does that happen, right? Or that would never ever happen to me. If God showed up in my life like God showed up for Asa and the people of Judah, I would never turn my back. I would never do that. But don't we do that sometimes? Asa sinfully turned his back on God and his back on God's protection. And he sought help from a pagan king. Asa didn't rely on God and he didn't trust God like he should have. And we can see clearly from 2 Chronicles 16 that Asa's heart was not committed to God like it should have been and like it was in his earlier years. It was, a heart issue. Not seeking God with all of his heart and all of his soul. And we don't know all of the circumstances that he kind of slowly drifted away from God and his full faith and trust in God. That's not recorded for us in the scripture because we don't need to know all those details. But we do know that something changed and something happened. And he didn't care to look to God for the help that he needed or the help that his people needed. And it seems like he died a bitter man. In the end, Asa made many foolish decisions that not only affected him and his relationship with God, but his decisions affected many other people in a very, very bad way. He had an awesome opportunity to lead well, to be God's man as he led this nation, and to die that way and to leave a legacy that was unmatched, really. And he didn't do it. And it's just a very sad thing that the story ends this way. But we can see so many things in 2 Chronicles 14, 15, and 16 that we can apply to our lives today. And I have to ask you, as you consider what you've heard today, where do you go when you need help? I literally want you to think about right now, what is your go-to right now? Your day-to-day go-to. What did you go to this week when you needed help with something? And I want you to remember that God is present and powerful in defense of his obedient people. And that's available to you today. Is your heart fully committed to God? I'm not asking you if you faithfully do all of the things that we as Christians and churches are supposed to do for God. I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you, is your heart fully committed to God today? Not just when things are going good, or not when things are going bad, but is your heart fully engaged and committed to following after God? Are you seeking God with all of your heart and soul today? Maybe some would say, Pastor Matt, I don't know if I'm strong enough to be 100% committed to God. I don't know if I can do this seeking God with all my heart and soul. I just don't feel like I have it in me. And I want to tell you that you can't. You can't do it on your own strength. You're not intended. You're not wired to do it in your own strength. It's God's Holy Spirit, as we follow God's Holy Spirit, that enables us to follow God the way that he wants us to follow him. I'm reminded of, at this point, going back to 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, where it says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. It's by God's strength that you can seek God with all of your heart and all of your soul and be successful. It's not in your own. I can't do it for you. I can't do it for myself. It is by God's strength. It's a powerful verse. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. The implication there is that even if our hearts are fully committed to him, we may not feel like we're very powerful, or that we can make a difference, or that we, but it's God who gives us the strength that we need. It kind of reminds me of 2 Corinthians 12, when Paul is talking about the thorn in his flesh. And yes, I believe the thorn was placed there on purpose for a different reason. But in Paul's weakness, he found strength in God. And God's strength was made manifest and showed even through his weakness. So as we close the message today, I want you to consider all of these things. I really want to encourage you to go home today and even reread through these three chapters in 2 Chronicles 14, 15, and 16, and ask God to show you some areas of your life where you need to go to him for help. If you need to get out a piece of paper, you can do that even now if you'd like to, and write down some areas in your life that you're really struggling with, that you're like, I need help in this, I need help in this, I need help in this, and write some things out. And pray and ask God to show you, God, what do you want me to do with this? God, I am getting pummeled at work. What do you want me to do with this? I don't know what to do. God, you know my marriage isn't what it should be. And God, you know why. You know all of the motives that I have, that my wife has. You know all of the factors. Maybe there's an outside factor of your marriage that's been very damaging to your marriage. God knows that. Maybe you're struggling relationally and you're just like, yeah, I don't know what to do. Maybe your issue, the biggest one you can identify for now, is I got a financial issue. God, I don't know what to do. I've done everything I can that I can think of in my own strength, my own power. I need to turn this over to you. Maybe you're emotionally distraught and just struggling as a person, and you're just like, God, I need help just to get through day by day. Let me tell you, I've been there. Maybe you need some direction from God. Just say, God, I need to know what to do tomorrow. But I want to encourage you, whatever it is, I want to encourage you to make the choice right now in this moment to seek God and to seek God's help with all of your heart and soul. That's a decision you can make right now. You might not know what God's answer would be immediately, but you can make a choice to turn that direction and say, God, my direction is going to be from this point on that I'm going to seek you with all of my heart, with all my soul. You're at least pointed in the right direction and committed in that way. And when you do, you're going to find, just like the Asa found and the people of Judah found, you're going to find God showing up and giving you a direction to go from that point forward. You're going to find that even in the middle of a difficult circumstance and something that seems completely off the rails in your world, that you can actually have some rest and some peace in the middle of all of that, because your heart is completely fixed on God. Would you pray with me this morning? God, we thank you for, again, your word and how it meets every need that we have. It cuts us right to the heart. It helps us to see where we're doing well and how we are pleasing you. And it also shows us, God, where we are lacking and where we're struggling. And God, I thank you specifically for this passage of scripture in 2 Chronicles of the story of King Asa and the people. And it just speaks to us today, Lord. It meets us right where we're at. God, I know that there are several people struggling today. And you know what our needs are. And you already know how you're going to meet those needs and in what circumstances you're going to meet those needs. You know how long we might suffer before we find the relief that we're seeking through you. But God, I find comfort in knowing that you know all these things. And God, I am praying for our church today, the people who make up this church, that all of our hearts today would be fully committed to following after you. That we would be seeking you with all of our heart and all of our soul. And God, when we do, we know that you will meet us where we're at and that you will meet the deepest needs that we have in our souls. God, I pray that your word would just go forth, that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts. Lord, that you would give us courage today to make these choices for you. In Jesus' name, amen.